Also, another way of occurrence of disease, it occurs as a result with the contact with the urine, fecal material, or vaginal discharge, or similar fluid of the infected contact. Rarely, very rare, it can occur as a tick-borne disease. Interestingly, the man is highly vulnerable to Q fever infection. He's more dying. So in another word, he can be infected with the very small number of this pathogen. It's not like that of anthrax. You remember, we say 10,000 to 20,000, but here even single pathogen will cause infection of the man. Please, Allah khalikum. هيك راح أطول هالمحاضرة للثلاثة يلا خلص إذا ما تسكتون. So man is highly vulnerable to the acute fever infection. Okay. The highest amount of the pathogen is present in the burn product of the infected animal. So for that reason, those persons like farmer, veterinarian, and people who work with these animals are at a high risk of getting infection. ممكن تخلي الكرسي يعني باو تحكي لكم قبل شوية وحدة طلبت مني أطلع أوكي بس لما يطلع بدون إذن هذه إخلاء بالأمانة لما أنا أأمن بيكم تطعنوني من الظهر this is خيانة وأمانة ما فهذا أكبر خيانة عملها واحنا على رمضان طيب تحبون اطلع واروح اكتب عليكم ها ترى انا ما يحدني حد ما بيهمني اللي اسهل ممكن تسكتون؟ ممكن نسكت؟ ليش شعبت بي أحسن منكم؟ خلاص إن شاء الله تطلعون الساعة 3 أنا ما بيهمني بس لأنه أنتم مش أهل الثقة أوكي؟ So the highest amount of this pathogen is present in the perfect product of the infected animal. For that reason, farmers, veterinarians, as well as any worker who are dealing with the animal and those who are working in the laboratory using animal, they are at a high risk of getting the infection. Usually, the disease is mild. Mild symptoms, and even there is a high percent of the disease occur as asymptomatic, without symptoms. About 50% of the infected person having no symptoms. Okay. In another word, in a rare case, what happened to this person, a serious form of disease will occur. A serious form of disease occurs as in two forms. Either it occurs as a chronic form, which persisted for more than six months or more. This is in this case we call it chronic, or it occurs as a recurrence of the disease. So infection is recurrent. In this case, it will change into very serious form. Okay. transover as a chronic, particularly among certain persons. Who are they? Those who have a heart valve problem and other vascular disease, and also those who have a weak immunity system in addition to the pregnant woman. So those persons be at a risk of getting serious Q fever infection, whether chronic or recurrent. The animal transmitted the bacteria, of course, in the urine, fecal material, milk, fluid, or any fluid coming out from the infected animal. Okay, so this material that came from the infected animal, it will be dry inside the barnyard, and then it's causing contamination or dust contamination. This, of course, will be flood in the air, and thus contamination will occur. So for that reason, when the human being or the man breathes this dust, he will get the infection. Human get Q fever when he breathes this contaminated dust. In a rare cases also, it occurs as a result of drinking unpasteurized milk. This is also another way. Of course, Q fever, just like that of anthrax, it doesn't spread from man to man. I mean, from person to person. Okay? There is no direct transmission from man to man. What are the signs and symptoms of the diseases? Okay? This incubation period of the disease 2 to 3 weeks. And the signs and symptoms depending upon so many things, particularly dependent upon the host. So it could be, I told you, about half of them, or in another word, 50% of the infected person, they will have no symptoms. They were asymptomatic, which is although we say, okay, no symptoms, but later on it is very serious. Right? So it is serious. No symptoms. While the other one, they, at the beginning, they will have a mild symptom, okay? Just like flu-like symptoms, okay? Abrupt fever, malaise. Severe headache and so other things, muscle pain and so on. And in addition, also there is upper respiratory problem, infection, dry cough and other. Gastrointestinal symptoms also occurs as nausea, vomiting and diarrhea. These symptoms maybe progress more and more, maybe just now we see it, not all of them, although some of them will resolve without treatment, but some of them will be more progress into very serious disease. It will become atypical pneumonia, and then it will be life-threatening as it occurs as acute respiratory distress syndrome. It is threatening the life of the person. Thank you. Okay. So, this is occur within 4 to 5 days. During the 4 to 5 days, less of the Q fever, they will have hepatitis. This hepatitis may be symptomatic or asymptomatic. So the patient, what will be? He will complaining of what? Abdominal pain. Pain in the upper right quarter of the abdomen, fever, malaise, and so on. And also, there is change or an increase in the level of the transaminase, okay, elevated. And sometimes, not always, there is a jaundice. That's why symptomatic or asymptomatic. jaundice is uncommon. Another thing, very rare, more than hepatitis, very, very, very rare, there is a retinal vasculitis will accompany you fever. We said that some of them will become chronic. What do you mean by chronic? That's the resistance of the disease to 6 months or more. Okay? In this case, it will end by very serious condition. This condition is endocarditis, bacterial endocarditis, which is very, very serious condition. That's why you, when patient came to you, diagnosed as bacterial endocarditis, you should ask them about the previous history should be taken completely. Okay? Bacterial endocarditis, which occur months or decades, maybe وراء 20 سنة, 10 سنوات, 30 سنة, but that's why in bacterial endocarditis, we have got, you should have to take a complete history. Please. افتح الضوء ده شوف مين انت يحكي. اللي يحكي يطلع. Please. الغياب مش ناخذ لكم. تفضل اطلع. تفضلوا اطلعوا احسن ما تسوون ديستربنس. هذه من كثر اللئامه، خلوا الناس تستفيدوا، انتوا اذا ما عاجبكم تستفيدوا اطلعوا برا. ليش علي وعلى على اعدائي يا رب العالمين؟ ولو الطلاب مش اعدائكم، المفروض زملائكم. So, the chronic form of Q fever will end it by endocarditis, which is very, very serious for. It could be occur after several months or several decades, even in decades. It is a fatal, of course, you know. The mortality rate of it is high, but it can be treated. So with the treatment, mortality rate will be 10%. Still, it is high. So that's why Q fever is a serious condition. Okay, who are at risk of getting Q fever? Definitely now, I am sure you know that the person who are in contact with the animal, particularly cattle, sheep, and goat, and also those who are living nearby the farm, we will see. Okay. So farmer, veterinarian, also people who are work around sheep, people who are work in dairy industry in Elban, working in a meat processing, and researcher in laboratory using animals, and people who are, and also people who live close to the farm. So not only the worker, even those who are live close to the farm, because of it is a dust contaminated airborne disease. That's why it is important to take a history about this disease and what's around him or her when any patient came to you. So the diagnosis of the Q fever, it's not easy to be diagnosed from clinical sign and symptom, particularly just on symptoms, a few like symptoms. So in this case, but any case came with the flu-like symptoms or having a complication or a serious complication of the Q fever, pneumonia, you should suspect it it as a case of QB. So just now we mentioned. So suspected of Q fever. Any case of flu-like? No. Any case of a flu-like symptom or having serious complication of Q fever, we have to suspect it as a case of Q fever. In this case, you have got to take a detailed history from them, okay? Or living, also you are asking them about their job and also about their residency or living, whether there is an area or there is a farm around them. It's well known fact that most of the disease, okay, diagnosed by detecting the antibody. Also similarly, in Q fever, we can do that, but antibody. But according to the CDC, this antibody will be still persist negative for 7 to 10 days. So how much it is used? So 7 to 10 days, the antibody will be negative all the time. It will be, the result will show negative. But however, in a chronic, of course, there is an elevation of the antibody in the chronic. Definitely, there is a long time. The level of antibody will be elevated. Also, another way of diagnosis, chest X-ray and cardio, okay, echocardiogram, and alanine transaminase or aspirated transaminase. We have to detect it or to evaluate it. Liver biopsy, and there is another way, which is PCR, to detect the DNA of the pathogen. So what are the complications? Just now we mentioned what are the complications of the fever? We said there is a chronic complication, which is the resistance of Q fever for more than 6 months. Or another complication that it may come back. So both of them are very serious problem. So this will lead to the more serious complication if infection is affected. So it will affect what? It will affect the heart, it will affect the liver, it will affect the brain, and also it will affect the lung. The high risk of developing chronic Q fever, it occurs among whom? Okay? Among, just now we mentioned it. Okay. Among those who have a heart valve disease and those who have blood vessel abnormality, and in addition, those who have a weak immune system, as well as it occurs among pregnant women. So the serious complication will occur among those. Those are more liable to get a serious complication. According to the CDC, the chronic Q fever constitute 25%, only 5% of all infected persons. The most common complication or serious complication of the Q fever is bacterial endocarditis, as you mentioned just a few minutes. It's a fatal disease, if not treated, and even with the treatment, the mortality rate is 10%. It is a fatal disease. medication, it's less common. They include pneumonia or other lung disease. And also, just now we said, it is more common among pregnant women. So what happened to the pregnancy, there will be either miscarriage or abortion. There is low birth weight, prematurity, stillbirth, and so on. Another effect of the chronic Q fever, it's hepatitis already we mentioned, and meningitis before, just now we said it affects the brain and liver and so on. In respect to the epidemiology, the pathogen is present all over the world. It's present everywhere, except in New Zealand. It is free of this pathogen, although I don't know why I feel it. The pathogen is sustainable and virulent, just now we said, it is highly virulent. Man could be infected by even a single pathogen. Could be infected by even a single one pathogen. So he can contact infection, as just now we say, by breathing of contaminated soil, contaminated dust, and many others. Also, a contact with the animal, milk, meat, and the other mode of transmission. Tick may transmit the disease, but it is very, very rare. Okay. In some study, they found that man is more liable for this disease, or the prevalence of disease is more among men than that of women. Why? Why it is more among men? Why? Yalla, jawabuni. What? Huh? سؤال والله ما تنسى جبت الطريق. Why Q fever more among السؤال موجود يا Why it is more among men than that of women? Yeah. Treatment. The best thing in this disease, it can be treated by antibiotic. So antibiotic is very effective in treatment of acute fever. Commonly, we use doxycycline. Of course, it depending on the state of the disease, the treatment will be. In a mild case, there is no need to do treatment. It is still resolved by it. Within a few weeks, it will be okay. So in a mild case, there is no need for treatment. But in a more severe infection, so doxycycline is the drug of choice for treatment of acute fever in a severe case. The treatment should be continued for 2 to 3 weeks. The interesting in this case, in the acute fever treatment, that once you suspect it is a case of acute fever, right away you should start treatment. You should give antibiotic, even before you receive the laboratory test result, because it is very, very important. So, even before laboratory result is available, so you have to treat it as a case of acute fever. Just now we said, suspected cases, either the sign or symptom that you know, just like flu, or a sign and symptom of a serious complication, so you have to start antibiotic. Within 72 hours, if the fever is not subside, it means this case is not acute fever. So in this case, you will be on the safe side. At least you will treat if it is acute fever, so you already did your best way. In a chronic infection, of course, the treatment is the same by antibiotic. It's given for 18 months or even for 4 years. It can continue for 4 years. Of course, after the treatment, it is very, just now we said it, antibiotic is very effective. So in this case, the endocarditis, bacterial endocarditis, will be treated, and there is less mortality rate for that. So you have to start the treatment as early as possible. What about the prevention? Of course, the best prevention is by vaccine. There is a vaccine available for the acute fever. It is Q-Vax. It is created or manufactured in Australia. It's made in Australia. So it is effective, highly effective vaccine. It gives a single injection. It gives us a single injection, 0.5 mils, subcutaneously. And it gives protection for 5 years or even more than 5 years. In another word, there is no need for revaccination, sorry, or no booster dose, not like that of anthrax being given. Okay, annual booster dose. Here, there is no need for revaccination. Okay? But there is something unique for this vaccination. We have what we call a pre-vaccination. What's pre-vaccination? No. You can see here, please. There is a statement. We give 0.5 subcutaneous injection given in the upper arm, assuming, this is very important, assuming both blood and skin is negative. So what does it mean, this word? What does it mean, this sentence? It will be answered here in pre-vaccination. What's pre-vaccination? Let us see what is it. Okay? So, in the pre-vaccination, we do screening to avoid the risk of severe reaction. It means if I have antibody in my body, whether due to exposure or vaccine previous, and you give me a vaccine, right away I will pass on. Okay, so to avoid severe reaction, the vaccine should only be given to whom? To those who have not been in contact with the animal. Because just at the beginning we said some of the disease will be asymptomatic. So maybe I have antibody, but I didn't get any sign and symptom. So when I have antibody and you give me vaccine, the shock will be occurred. That's why this is a pre-vaccine test or pre-vaccine screening. So it should be given to those who have not been in contact with the bacteria in the past. That's why it's very important to ask him in detail whether he has been exposed or not. Identify pre-existing immunity. This is very important. That's why. Okay? Because vaccinated people who already have an immunity can result in a severe local reaction, and it is a serious case. So what is this? What's the procedure of pre-vaccine screening? First of all, just now I told you, interview about Q fever in detail. You have to ask him in detail. Interview about Q fever infection in the past. This is very important. Then we have, not only that, also you have to ask him about his living. Where he is living, okay, and what's around him, and so on. So in this case, very important, before you give him the vaccine, blood test check for immunity. Just now we said, supposed to be both blood and skin is negative. So you are going to detect antibody or immunity in the blood. In addition, there is a skin test should be done to identify that there is no immunity to both of them. But, okay, so it's possible to have been in contact, just now I told you, with the Q fever, because bacteria and not get sick, 50% who are asymptomatic. So it is very, very, very important to do. To me, this is a unique only for Q fever, to have a pre-vaccination screening or pre-vaccination test. Also, so to prevent, so pre-vaccination screening is essential. Okay, animal screening should be done. That's why particularly in the workplace, annual screening is a typical recommended skin reaction. When we do skin reaction, there is redness of skin after 3 to 4 days, and then this will be disappear after 7 days, mean positive. So this is a pre-test, a pre-vaccine screening, okay? Not only we have a pre-vaccine, we have something else unique for this vaccine that we call it post-vaccine. We have after vaccination. What we should do after vaccination, when I give vaccine to the worker, I should prevent him to go back to his work 15 days. So 15 days after vaccination, he should not go back. He should not go back to his work. He should stay, okay, in his home. 450. So we have pre-vaccination and post-vaccination strategy for the Q fever. Okay? Then keep worker record in a safe place. It is very, very important to keep the work, the record, of course health record, of the worker in the same place. And not only that, when he moved from one job to the other job, this health recorder should be called with him all the time. So, and if it is important, particularly if the worker changing his job, it should go with him all the time. In Australia, in 2001, they introduced a national Q fever vaccination program. That's why for people working in at a risk of occupation. Those in the at risk of occupation, they did for them a program. And also what in Australia, Q fever registration record. And all the records should be in this area. So all those workers having their record in the registration, Australia Q fever registration. So in this condition, the worker will be on the safe side, okay, for everything above. As we mentioned, the vaccine is a long-lasting treatment. It gives immunity for 5 years or even, so there is no need to repeat or be vaccinated. There is a possible side effect, but very mild, 50% give very mild. Around 10% give side effect, also it's not so easy. Serious side effect is very, very, very rare. Okay? But 10% giving, just like COVID, mild influenza, like headache and so on, and it will recover within a few days. Okay, who should be vaccinated? I am sure you know. The vaccine is strongly recommended to the people who are working in a high-risk occupation, and also people who work in contact with a high-risk animal or animal product. Okay. People can also infect it outside the workplace. So it's not necessary to the worker, but those who are living around, okay, live or visit the area of susceptible contamination. Okay. What about if we couldn't vaccinate the people, but in this case, what do we have to do? Okay, people at the high risk group but cannot vaccinate. Of course, the following proper disinfection and decontamination should be followed. Okay, disposal of all waste materials should be followed in a proper way. In addition, washing hands properly. Quarantine the infected animal should be quarantined. Test animal routinely for infection, then we can't vaccinate them. We can't protect them by vaccine. So at least we have to follow these steps. Okay. Test animal annually, routinely. Restrict the airflow from barnyard and animal, and also vaccination of animal also it is possible, but in this case, what will happen when we vaccinate the animal? In this case, we are going to have to manage or prevent the early or late abortion of the animal to prevent it, and also to manage repeat breeding. In addition, to manage the decrease in the milk, and it means the protective material of the animal will be cured or will be done. Thank you very much.